Hey everyone, I'm Beatrice.
And I'm Philippa. And this is our CABC podcast where we chat about being Christian.
We're putting together some thoughts on church life and we hope it will help you think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
So let's get right into it.
So today I thought we'd talk about discipleship because it's a word that we often hear at church, but what does it actually mean? So we had a look at some commentary, some podcasts, and we found something very interesting actually.
So I think when we hear the word discipleship, we might instantly jump to a certain idea of it that we get because of the way the word gets used, which is that it's the specific context of me meeting up with one other person, praying together, reading the Bible, talking about our lives, and that's discipleship.
Yeah, that's totally what I thought at the start.
Yeah. But what we found out is actually, yes, that is a way of doing discipleship, but that's not all discipleship is about.
This might be interesting for some of you. The word disciple doesn't actually occur in the New Testament apart from the Gospels and Acts. For example, if you want to look it up, it's in Matthew 28. That's a very obvious place where Jesus refers to his followers as disciples. And he says, you know, you should baptize them and teach them to obey everything I have commanded. And we see a great picture of this in Acts 2, where everyone, all of the believers, are gathering around the apostles' teaching. And obviously the apostles' teaching is really Jesus' teaching. So I guess in our modern day context, for us, that's the Bible. That's the word of God. That's what we learn from.
Cool. Great.
Actually, to make that clarification then, when I was thinking of the word discipleship, I was really thinking of meeting up one-on-one, which I still think is a really good habit for everybody. But as we just said, that's not all discipleship is.
So discipleship is the whole process of becoming a Christian, growing as a Christian, maturing, living as a Christian. It's the whole Christian life. That is the life of a disciple.
Mm. Yep, exactly. Right, so who are we meeting up with, for one? That's a big question I always have in my head. And what are you meant to be doing when you do that?
And maybe before that, like, since discipleship is the whole life thing, why do we even bother with the one-on-one meeting? Don't we get enough of the teaching and the learning from just going to church and having small groups and maybe just having friends?
Yeah, fair point. You're right, because on Sunday, you know, we all gather to hear the sermon. But I think sometimes, I mean, I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like you get used to just saying the same things to people every week when they say, how are you? And you're like, yeah, I'm good. And you talk about work and everything apart from how you're going spiritually, you know, and maybe people don't know that you're struggling with your quiet times, but it just seems a bit difficult to bring that up in front of 6 or 7 people.
Yeah. So, and meeting up one-to-one is a good way of making sure the investing is actually happening and you're not just kind of chatting to people briefly at each morning tea.
Yeah.
But there's someone who you can follow up with.
Mm. So I do think meeting up one-on-one is really great. It takes that level of interaction to something much more personal. I think we've covered why we meet up and why it's good. So maybe we should say who. Who would you meet up with, Philippa?
Mm. I think there are probably two main types, I would think, of meeting up. One would be between a Christian and another Christian, and the second would be between a Christian and a non-Christian. In a church context, it's most likely it's between two Christians, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But then there are so many Christians out there, like, which one am I supposed to choose? No one relationship is better than another. So if you meet with someone who's kind of at the same level of you in terms of their maturity, they've been a Christian for about the same amount of time, maybe they're around the same age or same life stage, that's really cool because you can relate on a lot of levels and you can really help each other maybe through similar struggles that you go through.
Yeah. So would you say you need to be pretty good friends with someone before you approach them about meeting up?
I mean, that's probably something that could be helpful if you've got an existing relationship, then it feels less like you're starting from literally zero.
Yeah.
On the other hand, meeting up isn't just for you to have fun. There is the purpose of it is to build up relationships within the church. And so it may be much more helpful for you to actually meet up with someone you're not going to usually hang out with.
Yeah. I think for me, when I'm thinking about who to meet up with, it's important to understand what you're expecting out of that, those meetings or that relationship.
I think what I was saying was that in theory, you could meet up with anyone, but if you're actually going to choose someone and approach them, you'd want to choose someone who you think would be on board with it. Or at least once you've chosen someone, even if you think they won't be on board with it, that you actually talk with them about what you want out of that relationship.
Yeah. So older, younger. I mean, I'm always looking for someone older to meet up with. I think that's really valuable. And I do think, though, if you think about it the other way, there's always someone younger than you who's looking for someone older too.
Mm.
And you're that someone, most likely. So I would say, like, look on both sides.
And I think part of the process of just of growing as a Christian yourself is realizing that you are part of the church and you are there to serve the church. And so a great way that you can serve is by meeting up with someone who might not take that initiative themselves.
Mm. Yep. Cool. All right. So that's why, who. So what are you actually meant to do when you meet up? Because I've had some meetups in the past where we're both just say it was after work and we're really tired and we just wanted to have dinner and talk. But I always felt a little bit guilty that we weren't actually opening the Bible and looking at it.
I've definitely had that experience too, where I just felt I didn't know how to open the Bible up with that person. And so I just kind of defaulted to talking to them just about their life.
Yes. And I think the more I've been thinking about it on some level, I do think that that is okay. But if we really boil down to why you're meeting up with someone.
I mean, that whole Acts 2 passage, it starts with the apostles teaching.
Yeah.
Not with, and then the fellowship.
Yeah, they don't jump straight to something. Well, the fellowship has to be built on something.
Yes, right? Yes.
Like, as in, I do think it's really important to be able to be real and with your life as well and be honest about sin. But we always need to go back to the Bible, I think. So that's something that I've learned, to not be afraid of asking someone, like, hey, can we read the Bible? Rather than just, hey, can we hang out?
Mm.
Yeah. You know how you mentioned you can meet up with a non-Christian as well? So that's something I actually totally forgot about. I didn't even consider, because the purpose of that is a lot different, right? You're introducing them to Jesus, the God of the Bible. So I don't know, how would you go about doing that? Got any tips?
Gosh, that is still part of the discipleship process, because discipleship is... it's from that step of conversion, hearing the gospel and responding to it, and it continues.
I think it's a really great idea. Yeah. I just get terrified when I think about it.
Honestly. I've only ever had one real experience of like intentionally sitting down with someone who's not a Christian and asking them to read the Bible with me.
How did it go?
What I found was people are a lot less resistant than you think.
Oh.
I mean, it's so easy to build up in your head this idea that like they're going to say no and hate me forever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think really, I mean, the really worst case scenario is probably that they'll just say no and feel a bit awkward.
Yes.
People that you're asking, I'm presuming you have some kind of level of relationship with them already.
Yes.
And so they want to keep that as well. Like they're not robots. So this one girl, I had a friend in uni, and at that time at uni, the kind of mission for the year was Uncover. That's where you read the book of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
With someone. So the problem with my experience was that it happened fairly late in the uni semester. We were having lunch regularly and I was saying, do you want to next week, would you mind, since I'm a Christian and I think the Bible's important, would you like to read some of it with me just so I can share with you what I believe?
Mm.
And she said, yes.
Cool.
Yes, but I would say the reason that it didn't work out was because it was towards the end of the uni semester. So we did it twice and then the semester ended.
And then
the next semester she was like, hey, about that.
Too busy.
Let's not do that anymore.
Oh, no. And then you were crushed.
And then I was crushed.
But you did it. You asked her the first time and she said yes. So.
But it really took a lot of pushing. What I found really helped was having another Christian that I was meeting up with.
Mm-hmm.
One-on-one as well.
There you go.
And she would ask me, it took me like 3 weeks. She asked me each week, have you asked her yet?
So actually the moral of the story is not that you asked your friend to, your non-Christian friend, it's that you had someone else you were meeting up with.
Who was backing me.
Who helped you through that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a great story. So what we're basically trying to say is that meeting up one-on-one is really great. Everyone should be doing it, whether it's with a non-Christian or a new Christian or a mature Christian, like,
or all three.
Yeah. The great thing would be if everyone was doing that, right? Because everyone is a disciple and everyone should be making disciples. That was Jesus's call to the church.
And I think what we saw from the Acts 2 passage is that when all of that is happening, it makes a group really distinctive. So when our church is not just a place where people go to kind of comfortably listen to a sermon each week, but where every single person is involved in making disciples, then what you get is a church where any person, every person can be leading others to God through his word.
Yeah. So how did we start meeting up, Philippa?
Well, actually...
She asked me out first.
Beatrice is just too cool. No, it required some, like, I think it does help to have some kind of idea that one-to-one meeting up is something that you should be doing. So for me personally, it was just, we were sitting in someone's backyard and someone else asked me, are you meeting up with someone one-to-one? And I said, no. And so she asked, is there someone you could be meeting up one-to-one with? And I said, Beatrice. She was like, okay.
So I was just walking past and you just said the first name that you thought of.
Actually, you were inside playing FIFA.
Oh, okay, right. That makes that better.
And she just said, well, Beatrice is here, so why don't you ask her? So I did.
And
the rest is history.
Okay, all right. So we've only met up twice. Calm down. I think it's really great. Because sometimes you just need someone to overcome that awkwardness barrier.
Yeah.
Right. And if the other person says no, well, it's not personal, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they don't understand what meeting up is about. Maybe they're already meeting up with too many people, or maybe they're not ready themselves to meet up with someone because they don't know.
That's true. But you don't know if you don't ask.
Exactly.
So at the moment, we should probably be reading a book of the Bible, but we found this cool book at Coorong and it's called The Ten Commandments by
Kevin DeYoung.
Yep. I didn't know how to pronounce that. Thanks. And I've actually been finding it really, really interesting because you think you know the Ten Commandments, right? It's pretty straightforward. It's in Exodus. But
and that other book, Deuteronomy?
Right. Maybe I don't know them. But it actually goes into a lot of detail on what each commandment actually means and how Jesus actually just transforms each commandment for us in the New Testament. And I've just found it really, a really good refresher, actually. It's something so basic, but for some reason we just kind of don't really talk about it that much. So what about you? What did you think?
Yeah, I really like this book because it really emphasizes why the Ten Commandments are still important to us today and not just like a kind of arbitrary list that God made. Because it sets out in the introduction kind of why we should care about the Ten Commandments, given that we're not Jewish people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess there are sometimes there are angles to the commandments that you don't realize.
Yeah.
So say the second commandment about not making any images.
Mm.
What I never explicitly thought about was that you can sometimes subconsciously make an image of God, not by, making some idol or drawing a picture, but maybe you've limited your idea of who God is.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that sense, you've kind of formed your own image of God.
Yeah. So it's a great book. There's also a study guide at the end, which if you were meeting up with someone, you could sort of read the chapter and do the study guide together. So that's pretty cool. But obviously, sometimes it's just as simple as picking a book of the Bible and reading through that. Hey, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, we hope you found it helpful in some way. Maybe it will start a conversation for you, maybe at morning tea. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please also tell us. We'd love to hear them.
See you next time.